Welcome back to Mental Health Matters with Dr. Scott Terry. We are glad you are with us today. Today we're talking about sleep. Wow. All right. So stay awake enough to hear about sleep and why you need proper sleep, how much sleep you need, what to do about it, all that kind of stuff. With us today at KRUU 100.1 on your FM dial. We are archived at KRUU. Some of the shows and some of the shows are also archived on the YouTube channel at Arden Counseling Center. So look up YouTube and Arden Center, Arden Counseling Center on YouTube. You could email us for any questions, thoughts, ideas. You could email me directly through scott@ardentcenter.com. And I am Scott Terry, Dr. Terry, and I run the Arden Counseling Center, Arden Community Wellness Center, Arden Community Restarting Relationships, which does couple retreats. And I'm in the executive board and help create the Fairfold Mental Health Alliance. And Kyle's with us. Kyle.
Hey everyone, I'm Kyle, and I am a intern of Scott Terry, an undergraduate intern. And we also have Danielle.
Hello, I'm Danielle McWilliams. I'm a graduate intern under Scott, and excited to be here today.
In person?
Yes. Not on the phone.
Okay.
So, Danielle, are you cranky today?
I'm not cranky, but I am exhausted.
Okay. All right. Scott, are you cranky right now?
I am also not cranky, but exhausted.
Okay.
I had a 15-hour therapy session between today and yesterday. One
wow.
session, one client.
And this is one of your marriage?
It's Marriage Retreats that was really fantastic, great results, great couple, really made huge progress. They came in with some really difficult circumstances and was able to transform what was going on. And one of the things going on with this couple was sleep issues. The wife, wonderful woman, very powerful, who had a severe medical emergency happen mm-hmm. to her a couple of years ago. And has been through surgeries, et cetera, on opiates to survive the pain
mm-hmm.
and not trying to get off everything and
right.
be clear. And one of her issues is dealing with sleep. And
right.
so we're talking about sleep issues today, which is why this topic is so pertinent to today's discussion. And she doesn't get that she can sleep more than a couple hours a night at the most. And even when she does, she'll get up once she does fall asleep.
Right.
And so we're talking about going through sleep hygiene.
Okay.
Sleep hygiene, you think about is, you know, Kyle, did you brush your teeth yesterday?
I did. I brushed my teeth twice yesterday.
And do you normally brush your teeth?
Yes.
And you wouldn't think to not brush your teeth, right? It becomes a habit. And we all have these habits in our life. And
right.
we all have these healthy habits. And sleep you need to think about in that kind of same healthy way, because we're going to talk about what happens if you don't get enough sleep or the proper sleep or you don't have good sleep hygiene. Like you go to bed at 8 o'clock tonight and 2 o'clock in the morning the next night and, oh, it's Saturday night, so I'm going to stay up all night and party. And the problem is that I'm not sleeping deeply. And so I might get the same amount of hours, but I'm not having the depth of sleep. Sleep cycles are about 90 minutes, by the way. Sometimes a little bit longer, sometimes a little less, but about 90 minutes for the entire cycle to go through the different levels of sleep into a dream state and then come back up again and then go back down again.
Wow.
Well, and I think it's interesting, too, because sleep, I think people underestimate how important it really is. You know, we talk about sleep and why it's important and you need your sleep. But most Americans, because we're always like in this go, go, go attitude,
mm-hmm.
sleep just seems to kind of fall to the wayside. And so,
but why is it important, Danielle?
Why should
we get sleep?
The reality is, you know, scientific research has shown that lack of sleep can lead to all kinds of chronic medical conditions, things like diabetes or high blood pressure. More recently, they've been correlating lack of sleep with weight gain.
Which mm-hmm. is clearly the case because you're not metabolizing what's going on. So not only are you not flushing toxins out of your brain, which helps create dementia, literally, but you're also not metabolizing your food in an appropriate way,
right?
Which is also a good reason to not eat a big meal in this society. Our biggest meal is at night, which is crazy because what are you doing with all that energy? With that big piece of meat that you just ate, how long does that take to digest? And what are you doing with that energy that you just digested? Yeah. Half digest it, really.
Well, in sleep, too. You think about when we sleep, that's the time for your body to kind of recuperate from the day. Your immune system gets revitalized. If you're not getting that sleep, then, you know, you could be sick all the time. Your body is just not able to heal the way that it's supposed to. And then what ends up happening, too, is we end up developing unhealthy, I guess if you want to, sleep hygiene. You know, people will start sleeping on the couch rather than in their bed, or they'll
sleep
start
in front of the TV, right? Which they think, oh, I will sleep sooner.
Right.
Or I had a drink to help me fall asleep. Except the problem with having a drink before you go to sleep, by the way, everyone, is what? What do you think? You don't sleep as deeply, right?
Well, you're more happy when you sleep, right? Because you just had a drink?
No! You are for about 5 minutes, but then you might fall asleep sooner, but you're not going to that depth of sleep.
Right.
And without that depth of sleep, that's how come you wake up with that hangover. That's how come you wake up fatigued the next day, because you're not sleeping deep enough.
Now, Scott, what if I get, you know, I'm restful and I get... I just read that if you get less than 6 hours of sleep, then you're more prone to heart disease, stroke, obesity, yeah, all these things. You just die earlier.
Yes.
But when I go to sleep sometimes, I'll get like 5 hours of sleep, and I'll feel really refreshed the next day. Sometimes. It's
sometimes,
I feel good.
Sometimes, but again, it catches up to you, so to speak.
Right.
And but that's a misnomer as well, that you could actually catch up on your sleep on the weekend. There's so many myths of sleep that are fun to kind of knock down that we have. Like, oh, I'll just catch up on the weekend. Except the body doesn't work like that. You don't catch up. Body. And so if you're getting less than 7.5,
uh-huh,
or more than 9 hours, there's a problem with what's going on in your body.
Right.
And it will cause, for this show, all kinds of mental health issues.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right? And unfortunately, is it gets into a negative feedback. So if I'm sleeping 10 hours a night, it'll make me, you know, I might be sleeping because I'm feeling a little depressed.
Right.
It'll actually make me more depressed, which will then make me want to sleep more.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm sleeping, and if I don't have good sleeping habits, then I'm also tend to have more carbs, more sugar, more emotional eating. And so sleep hygiene is essential, but it's also getting clear on the circadian rhythm. When am I going to bed? How am I going to bed? Right? So an optimal time to go to bed really is 10 o'clock. And they say that for Ayurvedic, but they also say that just in general, sleep hygiene, circadian rhythms.
Well, I remember actually going over with one of there's a neuroscientist in town, and I was going over with him the possibility of doing a sleep study eventually for grad school. And we were just reading an article, and it was showing that the rate of psychosis increases for individuals staying up later.
Absolutely.
Than people who are going to sleep earlier.
There's a great, sorry to be a geek about this, but a great Star Trek episode where Captain Picard was out in the somewhere. And what happens is the ship got stuck and they didn't know what was going on, and they kept start to hallucinate after a couple days. And it literally is what happens. If you don't dream, if every time you do a sleep study and you're woken up, every time you're about to dream for a couple of days, you'll start going psychotic, literally having psychosis.
Wow.
And so the tie-in between mental health and sleep is absolutely one of the cornerstones of every kind of work that we need to do. So,
I mean, I think that there's a reason why, I mean, even mm-hmm. like you think about depression, mm-hmm. even in the DSM, you know, one of the symptoms is like constantly sleeping all the time.
Right.
So, absolutely.
I mean, it's just.
So it's, again, getting a sleep healthy habit. And again, what the way to think of this is to think there's an ideal. Let's say it's around 10 o'clock, time to go to bed, get up around 6, 6:30, something great. But some people it might be 9 o'clock, some people it might be 11 o'clock, especially with daylight savings time. That all can fluctuate. But, you know, I'm not a purist saying it has to be, you know, have a stopwatch on yourself and create more anxiety. But you create a healthy routine. And we're going to go over a healthy routine. But let's go back over, like, why the sleep? And, you know, some really interesting underlying causes sometimes of the stress, of sleep problems could be chronic stress, hormonal imbalances like adrenal issues, thyroid, which is a huge issue for so many people.
Right. Especially for children, it's like children are exposed to all this stimulation and all these issues from their parents that the parents don't realize how much it affects their kids, and the kids are just sort of tapped into a stressful environment and constant stimulation. It's very hard for them to fall asleep sometimes, and that can cause a lot of issues, including thyroid issues.
Absolutely. And so many people, so many problems of hypersomnia or too much or too little sleep, you know, is absolutely connected into thyroid issues. So it's very easy to look up what thyroid issues are. And we could actually have a whole show on just thyroid issues.
We're talking about, too, like parents and kids. That, like, you think of, like, new parents, too, that when they have newborn babies that...
Yeah, you know, like, you know something about this, Danielle?
Yeah. So you see these new parents kind of just, like, they're almost, like, zombified, mummified. You know, there's, like, nothing because they haven't been sleeping. There's just sleep deprivation there, and there's links to, you know, postpartum depression and moms, and because they're not getting that necessary sleep, and then, you know, you hear
or you're
about,
having sleep disturbance,
right,
like you're, and even like in PTSD, it's almost like the same thing with a new mother, I'd imagine, where it's like there's this hypervigilance going on,
right,
like you're asleep but you're not sleeping so deeply. Because you're always waiting, like you're
to wake up,
right? So you're so attuned. Oh, my baby's crying, you know, and so you'll just wake up and not even know that. And so you're not going deep enough.
And I remember there would be times even like after my kids, like I went back to work and the kids still weren't sleeping through the night. I'd be sitting at my desk and like I would swear I would just hear like a baby crying.
Right.
There was no baby in the
That's
room.
The psychosis
I was
from
like
not
I was
sleep.
Yeah. having auditory yeah. hallucinations yeah. because I wasn't sleeping.
Right.
And so, I mean, you know, there's some circumstances like with being a new parent, obviously sleeping, but there are ways to, that's why they say like, you know, right from day one, there's different tactics to use, you know, starting routines right away at night, and which we'll kind of get into too, those tips on
getting that structure.
Right. And ways to kind of help fall asleep better at night.
Right.
So it's good to sort of go through. So some of the other problems, causations. So we could also talk about poor diet. Mm-hmm. Again, if I'm eating too late or I'm eating inappropriately, that also causes sleep problems.
We have a big thing with huge dinners. You know, me and my girlfriend, we've started something new where we basically buy, sometimes we'll get a wrap or sometimes we'll get a meal, but we buy, you know, what would be a full dinner for one person, and we split it in half at night because that's really all we need. And sure, we want to taste more after that, and we want more food, but we really feel good after, like, in the moment we're like, that really wasn't enough, and we want more, but then afterwards we feel really good, and we wake up much lighter and ready for breakfast and ready for a nice big lunch.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And so it's like really getting... Again, it's an attunement to what works for you. Like everything with this show, we're not trying to give you right and wrong, good or bad, all or nothing thinking. We're just trying to give you ideas and suggesting look back at your own sleep patterns and what problems they're causing you. And people come up with lots of excuses. Oh, I'm just a night owl. Oh, I'm just a this. And it's like, no, that's a habit.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And biologically, there are very, very, very few people who could really be healthy on less than 7.5 or more than 9 hours on a continual basis. And just finding what schedule works for you,
mm-hmm.
instead of thinking right or wrong, come back to what works for you. And maybe you are unique. We're all unique in some way, but maybe your sleep patterns are so unique that you need something a little bit differently. But look at some of the other conditions that you've set up for yourself. What is your diet? What stimulations, stimulants that you're taking during the day that are still affecting you? You know, I always thought, for instance, I was told, cut off caffeine by lunchtime. No caffeine, zero caffeine past that, because the half-life, how long it lasts in the system, could be significant. But if you're having sleep problems, you should cut off caffeine completely, totally zero, because it changes the neurochemistry.
Because how many people do you hear, like, too, they'll be at work and you hit that 2 p.m. crash and it's like, oh, I need a coffee.
Yes,
but then they
right.
go home and they're not sleep. Then they don't go to sleep that night. Mm-hmm. And then the pattern just repeats itself
right.
day in and day yeah. out.
And there might be some individuals that need just a tiny bit of caffeine or something. Mm-hmm.
And it's not bad. It's, I mean, again, we're not black and white.
Right.
You know, having a cup of coffee is not a bad thing. Having a pot of coffee and needing it.
Yeah.
Now you're in trouble. You know, having some green tea is very healthy for you.
Is there Dunkin' Donuts in the Midwest? We've got Dunkin' Donuts in every corner on the East Coast.
Yeah,
and
it seems to
people
be.
Will get these big things of coffee. But in Europe, I think you get like a little espresso, and it's
exactly.
very little.
Well, and as like I've become a more recent coffee.
To help with digestion.
Yeah, I've become like a more recent coffee drinker. And it's interesting, like you don't pair coffee with a salad. You know, you're not like going to go order a coffee. You're going to get like coffee in a pastry. Pastry, or
right. So now you're having
sugar. So you're.
By the way, you're listening to KREU 100.1 in your FM dial. Mental Health Matters with Dr. Sauteri. And today we're talking about sleep. And we're just having a discussion, throwing out ideas, looking at different things for you to consider, talk about. We could do a dozen shows just on sleep, and we probably will. But we're just giving you some thoughts to kind of start playing with in your mind. What's going on? And there could be good reason why somebody, you know, might have sleep issues, such as chronic pain or some intestinal dysfunction or sleep apnea. You know, one of the problems with being overweight is that you start having sleep apnea, and now you're not getting enough oxygen to your brain, so your brain's not working as well. You're not sleeping as much, which, of course, makes you more of an emotional eater, which makes you gain more weight, which makes you, mm-hmm. right? And so, again, this vicious cycle. And so it's like whatever cycle you're in, look to shift it to get that you need to be in control of whatever cycle's happening
right.
in your life.
Absolutely.
So let's get into some better habits, or is there any other sleep issues that you guys want to bring up?
I'd like to bring up the topic of TV and how TV helps Ooh. People fall asleep. And
Or doesn't.
And so I remember I used to watch some comedy. I'd watch Family Guy right before I went to sleep or something. And
I could see you watching that.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
That's so you.
That's so Kyle. Yeah, I just pick my nose and brush my teeth. Now I don't really watch TV before I go to sleep. I mean, we don't have a TV in the apartment. We've got a laptop that's basically a TV. And we were watching this show called Revenge last night, and it's a pretty emotionally intense show, and any show that has emotional intensity, you're going to process during
creating
sleep.
Creating stimulation.
Yeah, and
keeps
it's
you awake.
And I went to sleep last night, and after watching it, we just vegged out for a couple hours watching the show, and then went to sleep right after, and it was just in my dreams, and it was just stressful in my dreams. It was stressful going to sleep. I kept dreaming about violence and stressful situations, nothing too horrific, but it was enough where I woke up, and I was like, wow, I was thinking about this show I was watching all night instead of
Yes.
getting just pure rest.
Right, and processing. So sleep is a lot of processing what has happened that day, physiologically as well as emotionally, psychologically. But what's really fascinating also about what you said, so it's like you created stimulation before you went to bed, which,
right.
of course, means that you're not going to sleep as deeply. But also, mm-hmm. what'd you watch it on? A laptop without
right.
a blue light filter. So it means that you're ripping melatonin out of your system.
Right.
And by the way, don't do melatonin on a regular basis. Yes, it's fine to do to re-regulate after you're while you're traveling, but having it on a regular basis will mean that your body will start getting used to the synthetic melatonin as opposed right. to producing it naturally. So again, don't become maladaptive. Don't get stuck with, you know, your tools that are there to help then all of a sudden become another problem.
Well, and another thing too, with like not even just with the TV, I know like my husband has a really big problem with, he'll lay in bed at night on his cell phone.
Oh,
and he'll read articles.
Melatonin, gone.
And I'll fall asleep and I'll wake up in like the middle of the night and he's still like laying there, like yeah. scrolling through articles yeah. on the cell
right,
phone.
Right.
And so that just, what that does is some people think, like you said, like some right. people think it helps them fall asleep. All yeah. that's doing is just sucking the melatonin out of you
yes.
and it keeps you awake. It stimulates you.
Right.
So which is funny because Elizabeth loves to read, and we go through periods where we just read books at night right before mm-hmm. we go to sleep. Mm-hmm. And if you get a super emotionally intensive book, that can also be too much stimulation.
Yeah, absolutely.
But there's nothing like reading a nice book before going to sleep. You're reading it on actual pages, on
yeah,
actual
absolutely.
Dead
You're
trees.
Slowing things down. And that's right. the point. So let's go back through a routine, and then let's go back through some ideas.
Okay. Yeah.
So here's a basic routine, okay? Again, let's pick an ideal time, let's say 10 o'clock to go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
It means that at 9 o'clock, you should cut off all stimulation and get ready for bed.
Even 8 o'clock?
Well, no. Let's just keep it simple.
Okay.
So let's say 9 o'clock, you're going to cut off stimulation and get ready for bed. Brush your teeth, wash your face, get ready for bed. Then maybe lay in bed for a few minutes and read and allow yourself to get tired. But again, nothing, as Kyle said, nothing mm. stimulating. Okay, now if I'm essentially going to bed, my cutoff point's 9 o'clock. It means what time do I need to have finished dinner so that I've digested dinner so that by 9 o'clock I'm ready to start getting to that stage. Right, so mm-hmm. 6:30, 7, you know, unless I'm having some hot milk and that's my dinner, something light and digestible.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
There's also food that you could take at night that'll also help you sleep, a little lean protein,
mm-hmm.
you know, something that'll help you sleep at night.
Okay.
But again, it's getting yourself geared to that point. And then it's not just cutting off blue light,
from cell phones
and computers and stuff, and the stimulation of being on the computer and everything else, but actually cutting it off by dinner time, you know, so it's not like hours of this.
Right.
Well, and it's
it
even,
doesn't mean you have to be obsessive and like, oh, I can't look at my phone. Just don't get stuck there like your
right.
husband.
Right, and it's even like, exactly.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, Ryan.
No. Yeah, Ryan, yeah.
Come on, Ryan, get your stuff together.
Yeah.
It's even like, before going to bed too, dimming the lights in the house. And I mean, this is the kind of routine they talk about even like when you do have a newborn. Like you start cutting off all noise, like don't be blaring loud music. I mean, this is just basic routine stuff that people can be doing to kind of help start
yes.
to regulate that routine and that sleep schedule.
Right.
And the bigger point that I always make is that the goal is not just sleep. The goal is psychologically that I am taking control over my life. I'm not a victim. I'm not a leaf on the wind to what's ever going on. You know, I could create what I need to so that I'm in control of what makes my life work. I have a structure, so I know when I'm going to sleep and when I'm getting up, so that I'm not just tossed around by whatever circumstance happens to happen. All right, so let's start going through the list.
So exercise. This is a good time, though, to talk about problems, right, during the evening.
Sure. So, like, I'm not working, right? And we could get into that one. We only have another 4.5 minutes here. But
so I think what Kyle's trying to say is, like, so if, you know, there's, like, issues happening, like, in the
in
home.
In a couple, yes.
Right, like, maybe not deciding to, like, talk about them, like, while you're laying in bed,
oh,
knowing that it's going to turn into, like, this big...
I can't tell you how many couples start fights, and it's like now 10 and 11 at night, and now they're in the middle of a fight, and it's like...
And 1 a.m. rolls around, and now nobody's sleeping, and nothing
right.
gets
and they
resolved.
Wonder why, and they're wondering why they can't get their lives together and why they have a terrible relationship.
Right.
Stop trying to do stuff
so,
when you...
Yeah. So during, like, the 7 to 9 spectrum, try not to talk about anything, you know, super serious, or the 8 to 10 spectrum, whatever time period
Yeah, whatever works for you, but... you could have meaningful connections because everybody works during the day, but don't get stuck in having the deep, you know, drag out fights when you're so fatigued and you can't think straight.
Right.
And it's the same like with exercise. After you exercise, by the way, it takes 3 to 5 hours for the body temperature and the body to renormalize afterwards. And so you really shouldn't be working out late at night. And if you're falling asleep right away, people say, oh, I could drink coffee at night or I could exercise it late at night and it won't matter. It means that your body's so fatigued that you're just...
You're sleep deprived.
Mm. So... Think about it. It's like you're exercising. You have all that energy. What are you doing with that energy? Well, I'm using it to go to sleep. How does that make any sense?
Well, and I think it kind of ties in too. You know, you look at bigger picture. Like, so exercise is important to do like during the day, and especially if you're going to do intensive exercise. Like, don't do that maybe right before bed. If you need to exercise before bed, maybe do something lighter like yoga or stretching. Something that's going to help relax the mind. You know. So getting into routines, getting natural sunlight every day, you know,
Absolutely. Getting outside, going for a walk.
Vitamin D, you know.
The
point of exercise, as much as I think exercise is essential for brain neurochemistry shifts, it's also essential to get, again, I'm in control of my life. Mm-hmm. And it's about connecting to being in a body.
Right.
And it maybe my exercise for the day is yoga or walking. You know, I'm a guy who lifts weights, but, you know, hey, that's okay. It's about connecting to being in your body and creating, stopping with the stress.
Mm. And so I think, you know, bigger picture, tying it all together, you know, it's developing a healthy routine for yourself and it's getting those important things, diet, exercise, all that. That's going to help.
Absolutely.
Sleep.
And look at the routine, which gives you a sense of control over your life. Go through the basics of sleep hygiene, keep your room dark, quiet, cold, cool. It should be cool at night. If you need to do tricks like take a warm bath, which then causes, as soon as you get out of the bath, your body temperature to shift and it'll cause sleep signals to happen. There's lots of little tricks and supplements that'll help. But again, keep to the main thing. Make noise. Make sure your bed's good. Don't use alcohol to fall asleep. Look at what your supplements are. Look at what your medicines are, and make sleep a priority.
Absolutely. It helps the brain. And if our brains aren't functioning, we're not functioning.
And if you don't function, you're not any good to anybody, including yourself.
So be good to yourself. Get sleep.
Be good to yourself. So look at other things that'll help with that routine. Think of it as in concert with meditation. For instance, to let go of some of the stressful and anxiety. I mean, I think for most of us, that's the biggest thing. Mm-hmm. It's not, we could get the routine, oh, well, my routine's a little off, or yes, my room's not quite so good, or my bed isn't the greatest, or oh, my back hurts and I should put a pillow under my knees, or this or that. But the bigger thing is, how am I dealing with the anxiety, the stress, the depression, the thoughts in my mind that are, I didn't complete the day? And so maybe I need to write a to-do list, or maybe I need to come up with tackling that stress and depression. Anyways, we're just about out of time. Any last words from you guys?
No, just want to reiterate, get sleep. Just, it's important.
Just try different things. Experiment. Try one thing and see how you feel that week. Try something else and see how you feel next week.
Keep a sleep log. See what actually works and what doesn't. You know? And it's that bigger thing. It's time to take control over your life today. So that's the big message of this today. Thank you, everyone. It was great talking to you today.
Thank you.
Look forward to talking to you. And we'll talk to you soon.
Bye.